Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed Metropolitan Opera baritone Dmitri Vorostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
At Beerham, Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham, Baum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Fifth Tuesday special event with Mitchell Spean, star of The Bottom Line. Mitchell, you brought together a great panel. Any comments?
I agree. I wouldn't hesitate on using any of them.
They're very good, and we'll give out contact information at the end, but I would, the team approach and talking to anyone here would be incredibly valuable, whether a business or individual. Now, Barry, you were talking off the air that you've been married 13 years.
Yes, I've been married 13 years.
And what was the comment you made?
Well, I just said this is the most opportunity I've had to speak in that 13 years. So I really appreciate everyone listening.
Wow, this is really cool. So we do have a show called Match No Match. No is spelled K-N-O-W. Yeah. I thought it was clever. I made it up.
Yes.
Match No Match. Know your match. And it's a dating show, a relationship show. And it's we're going to have to use that line, the most you've been able to say in 13 years.
Yes. I'll be copywriting that this afternoon,
yeah.
So you may want to move quick on that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's good. You know, and that brings
talk
up.
Talk to Jim.
Yeah. We've been talking about, how much of a psychologist you have to sort of play that role. And let me throw this out, and because I think we probably have all seen this, each one of us, is when finances get tough, like, and challenging like they have been in the last 3-4 years, what does that do to marriages? I think there's a statistic where it really starts to hurt the marriage because of finances, and I'm sure, Barry and Earl, you probably have seen that, perhaps?
Yeah, unfortunately, we see it all too often, and not just marriages, but the whole financial meltdown with estates and the children of elderly, and all of a sudden they have a very keen interest in what's going on with mom and dad's money. And the advice I would give those folks is you really need to sit down with mom and dad, because if you're not a signer on the account, there are very strict rules we need to adhere to. We can't discuss anything. So you need to get with your estate planner, and you know, just being put on as a beneficiary doesn't entitle you to all the information. You have to be like a co-signer, but you need to speak with somebody, and with the marriages, and it just gets awful. And that's something else you should have incorporated as part of your game plan ahead of time.
Well, partnerships are what I've termed, and previous people that I've worked with have termed, a sexless marriage anyway. So it's not just individuals, it's businesses.
What's the difference
as well
between that and real marriage? Mm-hmm. All right, just kidding. Go ahead.
Oh, I agree. And the same with businesses. You know, and it comes down to a personal level. People that may have been friends for years had a somewhat successful business, and then things started to sour. And, you know, it turns into a he said, she said. And back to the psychological aspect of being in the bank, you really have to be a diplomat, because you got to be real careful not to say something that's going to set somebody off. And, you know, you stick with the facts. Here's where we are. Here's where you need to be.
I'd like to know from everybody, when you get that, you've got a fiduciary responsibility to everybody in the business, or you know who the clients are, and it's got to be very difficult to give any sort of advice once something starts to deteriorate, without potentially affecting that fiduciary responsibility to the other parties. So how do you deal with something like that?
With something like that, you really just have to sit them down, hopefully if you have both parties, and just explain to them. We service the products you have here with our bank. You two need to sit down and figure out what's going to happen. And if that means bringing an attorney in or doing whatever you have to do, but we can't make those decisions for you. Whether it's a business or a personal account, it's yours. We're just a provider, and if you decide to dissolve that business, then you have to decide where everything's going. We can't make that decision.
You know, it does go back to why we're all here today, is the whole planning process. I mean, a lot of times when that happens, I almost have to sit in that meeting with the partners that are breaking up the business and think back to, you know, 2 or 3 years before, I told them, you need a buy-sell agreement. And we need a provision that says when one of you says, that's it, I'm done, we have a process of unwinding the business. And that makes all the difference, because then you have a roadmap. And they both signed it, they both agreed to it, and it has to be done that way. When you don't have that, that's when all the craziness starts. And sometimes, like Barry was saying, you bring in the attorney, although the attorney can't represent one party against the other in that situation. Sometimes you can bring in a mediator to help them mediate what they're going to do. But it's a lot better if you have a plan in place before that happens.
So that's a really good point, because this is a theme, is planning. We're talking about year-end planning, but really this is upfront planning. I mean, if you don't do that, you know, what's interesting, what I've seen over the years with clients is that people form a partnership, and it's like the honeymoon. They think everything's equal. They think, you know, it's going to last forever until the cash starts running out, and then they start fighting. So how important is that? I think, Barry, you got a comment.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, we live in an imperfect world. But what Jim suggests is have that plan in place, because we all carry auto insurance, fire insurance. We don't want it to happen. We don't plan on it happening. But negative things happen in life. So if you have a plan in place, you don't want it to happen. But if it does, it'll be a lot more palatable if you've got a roadmap to follow rather than trying to get, because none of us can really get involved in the he said, she said stuff. We can only service the products that you're using that we provided, but we can't distribute them any other way than what the parties agree on.
And this goes to business planning, but I would even go really beyond that. And this maybe is, it could be a management part of me or the NLP part. You guys don't know about NLP. Neuro-linguistic programming. Ever hear of that? Tony Robbins?
Mm-hmm.
Big, tall guy? Okay, anyway. It has to do with psychology. However, also I think what's really important when people come together to form businesses, and I think, Jim, you probably see, you know, there's a lot of businesses forming because there's a lot of unemployment. They got to do something, so they're forming businesses. So I would also venture to say that you need to talk about expectations, your roles, compensation, because I think you can have a 50-50 partnership in capital, but not necessarily in compensation. People are different. There's certain rainmakers or certain values. Who wants to comment on that? Because I think that's really important in planning.
Well, we see it, like you say, when the business starts, especially if it's a partnership, and there's sometimes the expectations are just kind of unspoken. In fact, I can just hear some of the comments I've heard in the past where they say, well, we're all going to work, you know, full time.
Yeah.
Well, full time to one person is not quite full time to another person.
Yeah.
And so then things get tough and everybody starts fighting. And so I think you're right. It's just getting those expectations down on paper to begin with, you know, sets a bar that everybody can kind of follow.
I think that's really important. And not just expectations of the other person, but expectations of yourself. Because I think a lot of people forget that. They're saying, okay, well, this is what you're going to do. And the other person says, well, this is what you're going to do. And this is what I expect. But what do you expect from yourself? But there's like in partnership agreements, Jim, you probably put provisions for, like you said, buyout and disability and length of time when what the consequences are of that.
The most interesting thing about the agreements I do in partnerships and LLCs, when I get to the management part of it, is, and you've got two or three or four different members of the LLC, is putting down, okay, how are we going to manage the business? Is there one person going to be the manager? What are the restrictions going to be? Certain decisions, are they going to be majority, unanimous? And that's always a very interesting discussion.
What usually happens? They start fighting?
No, they get to a combination of things. Certain things will be unanimous. Others will be, you know, a majority. And they usually come to a decision, but it's down on paper, so later on nobody can ever say, well, I didn't agree to that.
How about husband-wife that, you know, and a wife that owns a business? Have you seen anything that, you add in another dynamic there, and sometimes it's some of the personal relationship gets into the decision-making and, you know, with ego, power trips, what have you seen there?
The most interesting part about that is when we get down to the part where things aren't going well and everybody starts pulling out the documents, and we pull out the bank documents, and the wife is on the bank documents, and she goes, who signed that? And who made me sign that? You know, I mean, it's all of a sudden everybody starts looking at who signed guarantees, who signed bank documents, who's on the hook for stuff. So it gets kind of – I'm sure our bankers get that question a lot, too, when all of a sudden somebody shows up and says, did I really sign that? Did I agree to guarantee that loan?
That's I've seen that, too. That's tough. And how about, Mitch, I know you're big on this, is conflict of interest. That's important, especially if you have a couple. A long time ago, I had this client, nice client. They came in. One sat on my left. One sat on my right. I go, uh-oh. You know, usually I'm not in the middle. And they said, we're getting divorced. And I said, hey, I can't, you know. I said, this seems like a conflict of interest. I can't give you advice. What have you seen, Mitch?
Oh, I've seen that quite a bit of the time. Excuse me. One of the things that we do when we get an engagement letter is to get a conflict of interest to say, look, my fiduciary responsibility is to both of you as a couple. If something happens with one, everybody has to know about it. So if one of the spouses comes in and says, hey, I'm getting a divorce, the first question is, well, does the other spouse know? And I'm not going to give any advice unless it's to both of you, because I have a responsibility to both of you. So it is one of the things that most of the time it's not a big deal getting that signature from them saying that they understand that there's this potential out there. But I've gotten questions as to why do I have to do this? And then I have to go through the explanation.
So, Jim, legally, I mean, I guess you got to cover yourself, right?
Well, yes, especially when you're representing the husband and wife. I mean, you wind up just like Mitch is saying. You have to have the ability to talk to both of them. You can't take sides in that.
Yeah, that's very important. I think it's in, of course, the Code of Ethics as well. Susan, maybe you've seen that too with pensions. What, everyone's rushing to get their hands on the pension, perhaps. I don't know. There's probably restrictions on that.
Well, what's interesting is usually the more interesting cases are the beneficiary. When people do get divorced, a lot of times they don't think about changing a beneficiary on their retirement plan that they have at work, or even IRAs that they have forgotten about that are at banks that they maybe contributed to years ago. And so then second marriages occur or other things happen. And then when they do pass away, it can be very interesting when you go to pay out when the person who thinks they're the beneficiary contacts you and lo and behold, they're not. The former spouse was or you know, in divorce situations, I've seen that where the children are supposed to be named as the new beneficiaries in a quadro agreement, which is a qualified domestic relations order. And, you know, it's all about making sure that gets done. And so as we talk about year-end planning, this is a really good time to say, hey, is all my beneficiary information correct in my plan, or am I going to contribute to my 401k at the same rate next year? A lot of plans have open enrollment periods. You know, their entry dates are normally very common January 1, July 1. So December is a month, you know, in which you're getting all your benefits. You're picking your new health plan. You're looking at the plan. And so it's a good time to determine what's my contribution going to be and who is my beneficiary. Do I want to make those kind of changes?
That's a really good point. I mean, Jim, from a legal standpoint, I guess you have to follow the form, right?
Yes, and Susan's exactly right. I've had that particular issue where, you know, somebody forgot to change their beneficiary after there's they remarried, they left their ex-spouse on the beneficiary form, and then suddenly they passed away and the benefits go to the ex-spouse. Usually those telephone conversations, you don't even need the telephone to hear the current spouse calling you about that.
Wow.
And I agree with Susan. I mean, I'm almost paranoid about that because I ask people, have you looked at your beneficiary forms? Do you have the right people listed? You know, check them again. Make sure.
That's a really good point, Mitch.
At the end of the year, as we're talking about doing all the tax planning, I'm sure there's also I always ask them if their will or their trust is up to date. And that's – I guess I have to ask also about the beneficiaries, but it's a good time for them to visit their attorneys as well. How often should they be looking at these things?
Well, in estate planning, because of the way things have been changing, I mean, for a person with a fairly significant estate, we usually try to talk about it every year with them. For people that maybe don't have quite a substantial estate, every couple years, because, again, I've been in this business long enough, I get people walk in with wills that they want to probate, and they've got people who are the personal representatives who are long dead. I mean, they should have years ago looked at that and said, I need to update this, or the trustee or the beneficiaries aren't right. So you're exactly right, Mitch. I mean, that's something to at least ask the question and say, have you looked at it? Is everybody the same people you'd want to leave money to? And if it's not, let's change it. Let's get it up to date.
That sounds like a really critical planning move right now to be aware of that. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the most amazing panel I've ever seen on KXXT 1010 or anywhere. Jim Heighton from Reitenauer, Heighton & Lewis, a great tax attorney, and from National Bank of Arizona, Barry McGraw and Earl Stringfellow, Susan Hayek, pension consultant, Mitch Spean, great CPA, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the Fifth Tuesday special event with a special edition of The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spien. And Jim, you had a really off there on the break. You had a great question for Susan. At least a good, it was a good discussion.
Yeah, I was asking Susan that sometimes I've seen on the beneficiary designation for a qualified plan, a married couple where the husband, let's say, lists somebody other than the wife. And it's my understanding that the wife, if that's going to be legal, has to sign off. If she doesn't sign off, what happens to that?
That's not legal. You are correct in that legally, if you are married, your spouse has to sign off if they are not going to be named as the primary beneficiary on your plan, on your account for the plan. If that does happen, then there is legal recourse that a spouse who never gave consent has if indeed they are not named as a beneficiary.
Does that also go for like trusts? If they decide to name the trust, their family trust, as a beneficiary of the account, but the wife would sign off on that too?
You bring up a good question. It's been so long since I have actually had a plan that named a trust. I believe that the spouse signed off on it,
mm-hmm.
but I would need to check and see, just to verify from a legal perspective.
That's a very good point. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was just going to say, I see this in people that kind of do it, the do-it-yourself retirement plan, and that's why I think it's important for people that they work with somebody like Susan that knows those rules, because down the road, it's going to prevent a lot of really sticky problems.
No doubt about it, and that's why the team approach here is good. There was a movie called The A-Team. I think we're the A-Team. I actually saw part of that movie. I didn't like it, though. You saw The A-Team? Although I do like, what's his name? Bradley Cooper.
He just got awarded People's Sexiest Man Alive.
I got that.
Did you see?
Wait, you said Earl got that? Wow. Really? So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's done pretty well.
He has.
Now he's got that award.
He's an attractive man.
Wow. Does he need a CPA? Okay.
I don't know. We should ask.
The A-Team meets the A-Team. We are the A-Team. This is very good. Anyway, let me ask you a couple other questions. We have about 34 minutes left of this show. great show for year-end planning. How has the economy changed, or it has the economy, I should say, changed your approach to planning? Has it had any impact, Susan?
Well, with qualified retirement plans, it has, not only with established plans that currently exist, participation, people being able to contribute money to the plan or feel that they can't contribute as much or they're not able to contribute as much, or people that were maybe considering establishing plans. Again, it goes down to the, you know, how much money can I potentially contribute? What's my tax advantages? And do I have the money to even fund a plan? You know, defined benefit plans got real popular when we were in the go days because people were making a lot of money and they wanted to shelter it, and especially people that were in the housing industry or something connected with housing. And after that happened, you had people that established defined benefit plans, and unfortunately, those are supposed to be permanent plans in which your required funding is supposed to continue year after year. And if you don't have the money, that's really not an option, like a defined contribution plan. They're not discretionary; they're mandatory contributions, and so that can cause a lot of issues if you do not have the minimum funding availability to keep that plan going.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What I've seen, and then we'll go around the panel, see if there's been any changes because of the economy. I see a lot more clients and potential clients very depressed and tied into waiting until the economy turns around. Now, from my NLP background, I say, no, don't wait. Right now, right here, this is the time. And start looking at how you look at things, where you focus of what you don't have or what you do have. And I think it's really important people look to their mindset and know that ultimately it's really not tied into the economy. It's their skill level. So upgrade your skills. Maybe your belief systems are limiting your behaviors, perhaps. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to learn things about the mindset and how it really controls their life. And Jim and everyone said it here, is that do what you can control. You can't control the economy, really, but you can control your actions, how you strategize, your planning. You can control a lot of stuff from within yourself, and especially how you interpret the economy. Is it the glass half empty or half full? And I think that's really important. Any comments on that? That's my psychological minute for today.
Well, I would say that ask yourself, why am I waiting? What benefit is there to my waiting? And who can I speak with that will give me the pros and cons? Because none of us know what's going to happen with the economy. So, again, work with what's being offered. Confirm that it's the what's best for you. How long is it going to be beneficial? Short of long-term lending solutions, you know, mortgages, lines of credit, that kind of thing, there's no benefit to waiting to do something, to move an account, to establish a trust or anything, because you have to work with it, you know, play the cards you're dealt, so to speak. So why not take advantage of what's there now? None of the products that we're offering, short of the long-term things, can't be altered as changes are needed. And the bank's focus right now is customer service. So we want to know, what can we do? How can we change to better serve you? And that's what it comes down to. There's no point in waiting.
That's a very good point. You know, in the old days, they used to say, there's three people you need for if you're going to go in business. And what was the typical response?
Me, myself, and I.
No, that was Barry saying me, myself, and I, because you weren't in the microphone. So I repeated it. I heard it. But, Jim, you probably heard that. You know, when you go into business, you need three types of people. You've heard that before?
I haven't heard that.
Okay, here it is. Oh, Earl?
Well, I'm not sure. Being a banker, I would say a banker, an accountant, and a CPA.
Okay, you win. That's right, attorney, CPA, and banker. But these days, and I would include pension consultant, and clearly these days, attorney, you're welcome. Attorney, CPA, banker, pension consultant, but I would add one more, a great coach, because that is different. That's from the mindset, and I put great because what happens when there's a lot of unemployment, all of a sudden there's an increase in life coaches. Have you noticed that? They're all over the place. So there's no designation. All of a sudden, there's life coaches out there. And they're life coaches, a lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them, because they can't get a job. And they're coaching you? Uh-oh. So be careful about that. But I do think a great coach to work on what I call strategic integration, because there's certain behavioral tasks and projects and things you do, but it's also from the mindset, the integration piece on how you, you know, how can you change a limiting belief? What I like to do, and I'll get comments on this from all of you, how do you work above your self-imposed limitations? First of all, let me ask you this. Do you all agree that we work up to our level of self-imposed limitations? Let's go with you, Barry. Self-imposed limitations.
I think we have self-imposed limitations, but it's more of a safety valve where I know personally I don't want to exceed my knowledge. I'm not going to blow smoke unless I'm 1,000% that the information I'm sharing is correct. And oftentimes I can be pretty darn sure, but I'll end the conversation with, let's hold off for a second. I want to make a phone call just to confirm that this is right. Because in bank, well, and everybody's sitting here, we can really screw somebody up.
Yeah.
So once the documents are signed, you know, you got to do damage control. So, yeah, I think self-imposed limitations can be a good thing.
Yeah, and that I agree with you. You have to know your limits in terms of your knowledge and when to delegate, when to refer. The other thing I'm really talking about is at an unconscious level how beliefs affect what you think you're capable of. If you don't think you deserve something, you won't reach that level because the beliefs will control the behaviors. Now, I'm really excited for Jim. I mean, you have a very innovative firm, and you're growing in a time when most companies aren't, and I think this is part of your culture.
Yes. We've kind of looked at ourselves and said, you know, that we see – that, you know, we've been in business for over 30 years. We think that we're going to be in business for another 30 years. So let's take advantage of where we are and try and grow the firm. And plus, you've met the organizational psychologist that we're using, Cleve Stevens, who is basically, you know, working with our firm to try and, you know, allow us to grow further and, you know, have some transformational leadership into the future.
And that's what I'm talking about is it's you know, really congratulations for that, because how many firms in a down economy want to grow and know they can? That's a belief system. And you have Cleve Stevens. Is that his last name? Dr. Cleve, right?
Yeah, Cleve.
He was phenomenal. He really knows his stuff, and he's, like you say, an organization psychologist. And he really, really, I think, creates a different level, especially from the mindset, you know, what's possible. And that really makes a big difference. Anyway, that's my NLP comment. So let's go back to some planning, but that relates to planning because just don't think, you know, more knowledge is going to do it. And I'll throw this question out, because if more knowledge and more information is the thing that people seek to be successful, what about the internet? I mean, you can get anything, anytime, any place, knowledge on the internet, but people still aren't more successful. Susan, what do you think about that? Any comments?
Well, there's a lot of information out there, but you need to know how to use it.
Yeah.
And whether or not it's going to benefit you and distill it down to usable information, not just a plethora of stuff.
Yeah, I also think the problem is we've taken hear what you want to hear a step further to read what you want to read. So if you're only reading the things that are going to benefit the, you know, or validate the path you're on, then you're going to fall off a cliff.
That's a really good point. I mean, that's very, very good point, because to validate something that's dysfunctional is still dysfunctional, and that just doesn't make sense. And Tom got a kick out of that one, our producer behind the glass. Okay. Anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll continue our discussion on year-end planning with amazing panel here. We'll talk more about some business planning, some tax planning, perhaps estate planning. There's still a lot to go. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the Fifth Tuesday special event with a special edition of The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean, a great, great CPA, I must add.
And I know that you're one of the two best CPAs I know.
I knew he would say that. That's why I fed him the line. Okay, now we're talking about year-end planning, but we added some psychology into that because I think that's very important as well, because you know, fear can really determine one's risk-taking and behavior. So just keep that in mind. Now, let's go to some year-end business planning. Jim, do you do a lot of business planning, not just tax planning but and not just estate planning, but things businesses, you know, might want to look at before the end of the year?
Well, generally at the annual meeting, we try to look at what people want to do in terms of, like in Susan's area, how much they want to put into the retirement plan. Are they going to buy equipment before the end of the year? We usually make sure that the CPA is on board with that to make sure, is it going to meet certain requirements for being able to deduct like a 179 type expense? And, you know, just all those types of things that we look at. And then we try to make sure that every year we do the annual minutes, write them up, get them signed, put them in the book so that we have, you know, an actual record of what kind of decisions were made each year.
So are you actually with, you know, when they have these meetings, are you there? Do they invite you, the companies?
Yes.
Oh, they do.
I either initiate them or I go to them by invitation.
Oh, that's sort of neat. So that... that's, you know, that makes sense. I wonder how many clients really do that.
Part of what we do as well is when we're doing tax returns, we have a checklist of things that need to be put into the minutes. So as we're looking through the tax return, we'll put down the annual salary for the officers. We'll put down any additional loans that we're noticing so that they have a document that they can take to their attorney and make sure that their minutes are up to date. So we try and do that as part of the process of doing tax returns because we get the information. We need it. And if we can impart it on the rest of the team and just make sure all their records are up to date, that's what we want to try and do.
Yeah, and we also, to help our bank brethren, is that you know, we also look at where are they on their lines of credit, are lines of credit coming up for renewal, are different things like that. So it doesn't all of a sudden become like a, you know, a kind of a fire drill, you know, that they're 30 days out from the line of credit being renewed. If we know it's going to be due first quarter or second quarter of the following year, let's get them to go in and talk to the banker and start that process of finding out what they're going to do with that line of credit or that loan so that it's not just a surprise to everybody.
That's a really good point. Now, and Earl and Barry, as bankers, do you find a lot of your clients come in towards the end of the year and look at their lines of credit or want to start an application process for the new year? Or how does that work for you guys?
Yeah, normally at the end of the year, we have a lot of clients that come in to renew their lines of credits and at the consultant of their attorneys. A couple other things that we have the clients look at that particular time is let's just take a look at the accounts, make sure all the accounts are working. A lot of times the banks change products, and, you know, we want the business owners to look at the fees that they're maybe earning on their account because there might be something else that we can offer. Merchant services is a real popular one right now with the credit cards, accepting credit cards for their businesses. And there's a lot of changing in the fees out there. So that's something else they want to look at. But as a bankers, we do a total cost analysis for these business owners to be sure that they are in the right products going into the new year.
Now, is this do you usually call clients or they just come in and say, let's take a look, or do you give them some type of notification?
Well, again, being that we're a community bank, most of our clients we know fairly well. So we call them and just try to schedule an appointment with them to either go out to their business or have them come in to talk to us to have time to do that cost analysis with them.
That is great. That's such a great advantage to have a community bank like that.
Sure.
I mean, the only time I think my bank called me was to say they need more money. No, I'm kidding. I think it was like, you know, new product or something. But sure. But not, you know, it's so nice if people just call, just say, hi, how are you? Versus you want to buy something.
Yeah, well, a matter of fact, this morning we were formulating, we have a weekly call with our boss, and, you know, we're bringing treats to our clients. And, you know.
Treats, what type of treats?
Yeah, like a tray of cookies or a cheese platter, just something to go out and let them know that it's, you know, yeah, they see me a lot walking in with my folder and, you know, hey, Jim, everything going okay? But it's really important. We're not here without you, and we're going to make it personal. Here's some cookies. Hope you guys enjoy them. How's the family? I mean, you have to be like that.
And invariably, they'll have all sorts of questions for you.
They will have questions, yeah.
Oh, Mitch, your cookies are on the way.
And the checks.
Tell me what I'm allergic to.
But, you know, we encourage questions because, you know, we try to be as proactive as possible, but we just we're not business owners. We have to rely on you to tell us. And, you know, I always get a kick when somebody will reach out to us and say, geez, Barry, I'm sorry to bother you. And I'll stop them in the tracks. I go, I work for you. You're not bothering me. You know, it's when you stop bothering me, that's when I'm going to worry, because then I'm unemployed. So I like the opportunity to help people to review their accounts, and then, it might trigger something else. Like, oh, by the way, we're offering this great business credit card. You're using a debit card right now. Instead of, you know, using that debit card every month, you pay it off anyway. Why not take advantage of this new credit card, get 2% back at the end of the year on everything you purchased? Oh, I didn't know that yet. You know, who knows? $200 extra that you didn't know you had coming.
I got to say, you guys have great attitudes. I don't think I've seen
that. We work at a great place.
That is, right, Jim? I mean, have you?
That's great.
This is really good attitudes. And Susan, have you seen the bankers act in this amazing fashion?
Not in a long time. I think I have to change banks.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, we got his card already.
I have your card right here.
Just mine, not ours.
Okay. I'll call you, Barry.
Oh, competitive.
But I bring cookies.
Yeah. Well, let's ask
Mitch. What are you going to bring me? What are you going to bring me, Barry?
What would you like?
Whatever you like, diamonds.
Diamonds?
Oh, yeah, I like those.
Is it true diamonds are a girl's best friend?
Absolutely.
Really? What makes that true?
That's for your other show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And that could be year-end planning, right?
There you go.
Because,
absolutely.
Like, holidays are coming up, and if you're going to give a gift to a lady, do you give diamonds or what?
Oh, yeah. Nothing says love more than diamonds. Oh, no. Absolutely.
Do we really believe that? Yeah.
If you don't, you guys should.
I believe it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid if we started that, we might get some calls from corporate card on our usage.
Well, you know, Barry, I think more diamonds, more talk time. So, right? No, not here. I mean,
at home.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking.
You know, I think in all seriousness, the thing that I like about their attitude is that banking has become more complicated, more different cards, credit cards, debit cards, merchant services, different accounts, And, you know, it really is nice to have someone that will sit down with you and explain the differences, the pros and cons. I mean, it's really hard to figure out on your own. And if you're busy, you don't have that kind of time. So, I mean, that's I think that National Bank, community banks, they really help people a lot by doing that personal service.
I think so, too. I'm very impressed. very impressed. And anyway, let's take a quick break, and then we'll do our last segment. And, of course, this is Breakthrough Thinking and The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean. We have Jim Hyten of right now, Hyten and Lewis, here in studio, National Bank of Arizona. We have Barry McGraw and Earl Stringfellow, Susan Hayek, a great pension specialist or consultant, I will say. And we'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed Metropolitan Opera baritone Dmitri Vorostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Fifth Tuesday special event with a special edition of The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean. You can hear The Bottom Line every first Tuesday from 2 to 3. Yes, first Tuesday of the month.
Yes, next week.
And who do we got next week?
Next week we're going to have representatives from ADP Payroll Service and Total Source, which is also ADP, but that's their employee leasing branch.
And that's good timing, because if you're going to make a switch, good timing to make a switch at year end, and that's planning too.
That's why we planned it for December.
Oh, see, we have some madness to our thinking, or whatever that saying is. Okay, let's we only have about maybe 8 minutes left, and let's go talk a little bit more about how about estate planning, Jim? I know you do estate planning. Is there anything other than what you said that people should be aware of?
Well, just quickly, the biggest thing with estate planning is that this year, 2011 and 2012, have real big advantages to doing significant estate planning for large estates. After 2012, we don't know what the estate tax law is going to look like. It's another one of those situations where Congress put the law in effect and they said it's good till December 31, 2012. January 1, 2013, it goes back to where it was before. It could go down from a $5 million exemption to a $1 million exemption on the unified credit. So these 2 years are really big for estate planning to put things into place, especially gifting.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the gift, because the gift exclusion is going to, from what I've heard, is going to change so dramatically. You can put, at this point, it's also $5 million, is it not?
Yes, it is. It is, and that could go down dramatically as well.
And if I know, if I'm correct, if you put it away, give it as a gift under this exemption, what happens if the gift exemption goes down?
You will be grandfathered. It will be in effect. So a lot, we're meeting with a lot of people between now and the end of 2012, because it's a significant change, and for people with significant estates, this is their window. We don't know what will happen after 2012. It goes back to what you can control and what you can't control.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, let's talk a little bit about some just basic tax planning. A lot of people really want to know about that. There's things people can do. And, Mitch, you're up, batting numbers in the third position behind Justin.
Oh, I thought
Upton.
I was going to go after you.
No, it's not my honor to allow you to go first.
Well, some of the basic things that you can do, obviously, is to accelerate expenses and postpone income. Those are the ones that most people think about. This year, it makes sense. Next year, we don't know, because if the tax rates go up, we may want to accelerate income just to take advantage of the lower tax rates. So there's going to be some significant things for next year that we have to be aware of. The other thing, some of the things that expire are the Section 168K, which is the accelerated depreciation, which is different from the 179, which is where you can expense everything at once. This is truly considered bonus depreciation rather than anything else. So that you can take advantage of those things, you know. But again, the other things that I try and make sure that people do is start budgeting and looking at what they need. There's so many things out there that you just it's so individual to each client that the basics are there, and what they really need to do is contact their tax advisor and sit down with them and say, here's where I'm at, and let's see what we can do to minimize taxes. You know, my ultimate goal for everybody is for them to pay $1 million in taxes.
Okay, you've just lost clients.
if you want, there's got to be enough income to create that $1 million. It's not that we don't want to minimize taxes. We do want to minimize taxes. But if you can minimize your taxes and that tax bill is $1 million,
you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You're doing pretty well.
You know. I agree. I was just teasing with you. That's true. I think people, and Jim and Susan, you may see it a lot, is that people get so focused on the taxes, and it's sort of, don't you think it sort of steers them off course a little bit? I mean, good business is good business. And just where it's sort of what Mitch was saying, Susan, don't you think? I mean, just good business.
Absolutely, would agree.
Yeah, yes. Jim,
I would agree. I think that's people sometimes take their eye off the ball, and they try to do so much with taxes that they just lose sight of what they're trying to do. And you know, we try to remind them too that there are such things as loan covenants that they want to try and comply with. that the bankers want to make sure they're on board with those, and so don't lose sight of that when you're doing tax planning.
That's a really good point. Barry and Earl, do you run into that a lot? Do you see that quite often where they sort of get lost in the forest there?
They kind of ignore the bank?
I can speak with both Earl and I. We won't touch taxes. We won't discuss it. You have to talk to your tax attorney. We can do a heck of a lot more damage than we can do good, you know, neither one of us are tax attorneys. So,
yeah, not so much taxes, but the loan covenants. I mean, people have to know, you know, how they stay in compliance, basically, you're saying.
Again, it goes back to, I think Jim hit the nail on the head. You know, don't get so caught up in this. The bottom line is, if you have a good tax advisor, you'll get all the benefits you can. Don't try to get too creative because, again, you're probably breaking the law. And, you know, it's not like you get caught with your hands in the cookie jar. It might be months before you get caught, but it's just going to be an unpleasant thing. Is it really going to be worth the extra $300 or even $3,000 you might have saved in the long run? And the answer is no. Just
I agree with you totally.
Comply.
It's like, and that's where people get off course. They, you know, it's a bigger picture in their mind than they're really saving. Just do it right, right? I mean,
correct.
You know, sleep right. well at night. Just do it right. That's all there is to it. We only have 3 minutes left. Contact information, Jim Hyten. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can contact me at the firm. Our phone number is 602-254-9900. That's the best way to get a hold of me is just give our firm a call.
Very good. Thank you so much. The guys from National Bank, Barry and Earl, how do they get in touch with you guys?
You can get a hold of me at 480-563-2397.
And I have to actually have another number. It's 480-384-5000.
Oh, okay. So you both have different branches.
Yeah.
Oh, this is an exciting competition. Okay. And Susan, contact information.
Yeah, contact information is 602-295-7335.
Wow, nice. And Mitch?
I can be reached at mitch@jfbpc.com or 602-266-5633.
Wow.
Dave, your turn.
Oh, my turn. Thank you. 602-625-3074. Yes. 602-625-3074 for coaching or CPA stuff, whatever the case may be. Well, guys, you have all been phenomenal. I think this has been a real help to the listeners out there. And, of course, the archive shows are out on our website, so breakradioshow.com. Go to archive shows and listen to this again because there's a lot of great information here. I was taking a lot of notes. I learned a lot of good stuff, and we covered a lot of good things, estate planning, pension planning, tax planning, business planning, even got some neuro-linguistic programming in there. I snuck it in, and we also found out that Barry, after 13 years, does have a voice. And this is going to be exciting. And we're going to try to do this again. I think if we did it like quarterly or so, because there's a lot of things coming up. Tax law constantly changes. New innovative strategies that we could talk about, strategic planning. There's a lot of things we can talk about. Anyway, thank you so much, all the panel members. And, of course, we'll be on tomorrow with Breakthrough Sports talking about the NBA finally is back. Anyone a basketball fan? No. Okay. Well, anyway, apparently they are back.
Not until they're back.
Yeah. And so we'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, Breakthrough Sports. Listen in. Have a great night. We'll see you then.
To hear this program again, log on right now to FamilyValuesRadio.net. Then, just